My Bible.
Wait a minute, are you holding your Bibles in the air? Hold them up in the air. All right, wave them in the devil's face. The Bible says he is the prince, the power of the air.
Yes.
So we're waving them in the devil's face to let him know that we mean business. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is
the word of God. And God's word
is
devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil. Every single day.
This is my Bible.
The word of God. And God's word
is
the revelation of
his will
for my life. Whatever it says I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever says I have,
I claim it.
In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us to be doers of your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Most of y'all didn't even notice so far that we are changing the name of the church to Christ Victory Bible Teaching Center. Praise God.
Amen.
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 We are changing the name of the church because we expect growth. We are a center. Praise God.
Amen.
A fellowship is a small group of people. A center means that we're reaching out and bringing more in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. I forgot to set this up. Let's get ourselves set up in the name of the Lord. Also, again, son, Toman, happy birthday, son. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Happy
birthday.
I won't reveal his age. He told me this morning, and I was shocked that he is older than way older than I thought he was. I mean, way, way, way older than I thought he was. Huh? What's that, honey?
Ballpark.
Say that again.
Ballpark.
I'm lost. See, I thought I was becoming Liberian, but I'm fine. I still don't know a lot of stuff. Okay, you gonna have to, Nancy. You gonna have to explain that one to me later on, baby. Praise God. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to our foundation text, which is in 2 Peter chapter 1. Praise God. I tell you, I love this congregation. We are, I believe in a church that should be having fun. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. We should not, if we're going to teach the word of God, it should not be dry and we should not be bored.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
We should be interested, we should be engaged, and we should have some fun while we're doing it.
Amen.
This is not, I don't know about y'all. Most of you have gone to college. I have not finished college because I was lazy. That's all I can tell you. But I have taken over a year of college, and I tell you, college is boring for the most part. Because you got dry professors. They get up there, and many of them sound monotone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want you to do homework on stuff that they didn't even teach you. Yeah, well, I mean, my goodness. They want you to read 10 chapters of this, and then your next professor wants you to read 20 chapters of that. So you get bored in class, and you go home and get bored. So we want the word of God to be interesting and enjoyable and fun as we are teaching it. So my wife used to accuse me of being sound like a college professor, so I'm trying to get away from that and trying to be more engaging.
Yes.
Amen.
Trying to be more into it.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, because one of my favorite teachers is Derek Prince. And I tell you, in order to listen to Derek Prince, you got to love God's word. I'm telling you. Because, I mean, Derek Prince gets with his British accent, and he just, he ain't black. So he sit there and say, oh, turn to me with your Bibles into this chapter. And he just, that's the way he goes. But I tell you, I used to enjoy listening to him because I was just in love with the word of God.
Amen.
How many of y'all ever watch Andrew Womack on television?
Mm-hmm.
You ever watch Andrew Womack?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you better love the word to listen to Andrew Womack.
You
got to love God's word. Because, I mean, the way Andrew Womack sits there, he just sits on the chair, just talking.
Don't forget.
Just talking.
He talks. teaching.
Yeah, he's teaching. And he's a good teacher.
Yeah.
Okay, but you got to love the Word of God in order to listen to that man, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, sometimes I thought that if I was that way, you know, just because people love the Word of God, you know, maybe they'll listen to me. But when I see people falling asleep, then I know I need to. I need to put a little more pizzazz in my teaching here. Praise God. Have you found 2 Peter chapter 1 yet?
Amen.
Amen. If you haven't, we'll put it up on the board for you, because y'all can't be taking up all my preaching time. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. Wait for me to get there. 2 Peter chapter 1, that is before 1 John, and it is after 1 Peter, obviously. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, begin at verse 20. It says, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Say private.
Private.
Say private.
Private.
That means that you don't get to determine how you should interpret the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
As I told y'all before, you know, you hear these people talk about, well, everybody got their own interpretation. Well, if they have their own interpretation, that's called a private interpretation. Amen.
Amen.
And you are not allowed a private interpretation. It says, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise God.
Amen.
So who gave us the Bible?
God.
The Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
He moved upon men. Men, he did speak through men's culture, through their languages, and through their idioms, but it was the Holy Spirit who gave men the Word of God. So who is the best interpreter of the Word? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm not the best interpreter of God's Word. I can get it wrong. You can get it wrong. Praise God.
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit who is the best interpreter of His Word to us. Glory to God.
Amen.
So if we have a private interpretation, then we are missing what God has to say to us. How many of y'all like it when somebody gives their own interpretation of something you see? How many of y'all like that?
No,
you don't. You get mad, don't you?
Uh-huh.
I mean, somebody call you up and say, well, so-and-so said that you said this, and you said, I didn't say that. This is what I actually told the person. I don't know how they got that out of what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Have y'all ever went through that?
Mm-hmm.
I have, more than once. You know, how did you get that out of what I said? Well, how many think y'all know that Jesus is sitting there saying that sometimes? How in the world did you get that out of what I said? I think what I said was plain. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot have a private interpretation of God's Word. And so as we are talking about the subject of whether or not God engages in destructive behavior, I had to build a foundation by which I give you the principles, the Bible interpretation principles that I use that arrive at the conclusions that I have arrived at, as you find in your study guide. Hallelujah. And I don't mind you going ahead. If you're interested and you get home and you find out, hey, this is some good stuff. Let me read more. Go ahead. Praise God. Because sometimes it's better for you to read ahead, and then you're ready when you come here on Sunday, and I'm teaching from that particular lesson. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I got a pastor, a friend of mine. He made me laugh this morning. He calls me up early in this morning. You know, I just got finished praying. He thought he was waking me up, but I had been spending a couple hours with the Lord this morning, and he calls me up. He says, Pastor Troy. He said, I know it's early, I'm sorry to wake you up. He said, I'm just so excited. I'm like, what's going on? He said, well, you know, I'm preaching this message today, and it's coming right from your book. He said, so I just got to call and tell you that. Praise God. So it's okay to read these things and learn from them as God is helping you. Praise God. All right, so let's go over the principles that we already talked about. The past couple of weeks, we talked about four principles And the 4 out of the 7 principles of Bible interpretation, or how we arrive at the subject of whether or not God engages in destructive behavior. And so the first principle was, can anybody remember the first principle? It's open book test. Let me hear everybody say it.
Recognize that God is the source of
Man, y'all make it sound like there's only one or two people here. Come on. Speak up. Let me hear it again.
Recognize that God is the source of only good.
Exactly. Recognize that God is the source of only good. You see, you got to understand what you think about God affects your whole life. It affects all your choices in life. It affects all your decisions in life. It affects how you treat people, praise God.
Amen.
It affects how you go about sharing the gospel, or whether or not you do share the gospel. Because Jesus cares about the lost, amen. But if you don't realize that Jesus cares about the lost, if you think Jesus he's chosen some to be saved and some to be lost, if you think that, then you won't be too zealous to go out and share the gospel, praise God. If you think that everything happens according to God's will, that whatever happens, happens, then you will not intercede for the lost. Amen. You won't intercede for others. Your decisions, the way you think about God affects your decisions. Think about we just heard about the Muslim man who in California who went and killed 14 people. Now listen to me. This man, the reason why he killed those 14 people, and one of them was a Jewish man. Him and a Jewish man got into an argument over whether or not Islam is a peaceful religion. And the Muslim man was arguing for the lie that Islam is a peaceful religion. And the Jewish man was arguing against him, and I guess he must have shown him a lot of facts because it must have made this Muslim man mad. Now, this is a Muslim man that they had baby showers for at work. He had a good government job. He had time off. He had all kinds of benefits. And how does he repay all those people? He goes in and kills them. You know why? Because of his type of God. The way he thinks about his God is the way he reacts to other people, praise God. So if you think that God has bad in him, if he can bring forth bad, then you think that it's okay for you to bring forth bad, praise God.
Amen.
See, as a pastor, I have to tell you to follow me as I follow Christ, praise Jesus.
Amen.
Now, some of y'all, I might go out and sin, and some of y'all be still foolish enough to stay here. And you might hear on the news that Pat Troyer was a local pastor, was seen with 3 prostitutes the other day. And I'll come up here and I'll say, well, you know, it's all right because, you know, the Bible says that, you know, David had many wives and he had concubines, so as your pastor, it should be okay for me too. Now, some of y'all be smart and you will say, well, I think the Lord is leading me somewhere else. But some of y'all be fools and you'll say here and say, yeah, you know, pastor's right. And then some of y'all will follow me in that. You'll say, well, if it's okay for pastor to have 7 women, then it's okay for me to do that. See, as I have to be an example of truth and holiness, because some of y'all will be foolish enough to follow me in sin. Praise God. So I have to be a firm example. Well, if I have to be a firm example, then how much more does God have to be a firm example? God has to be the ultimate example. Pastor Mary was explaining it earlier today, that God is a giver. So he expects us to give. He doesn't tell us to do something that he wouldn't do. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus came, when he came down on earth, he didn't come down exalting himself. He had every right to exalt himself. He's the creator of this whole universe. Yet he came down and told his creation, I'm your servant. And yet some of us think we're too high and mighty to serve other people. God is the ultimate example, praise God. And so, and we have to understand that he is the source of only good, because if we believe in our minds that God can do bad, then we'll think we're justified in doing bad, praise God. If we think that God can have temper tantrums, then we can have temper tantrums. I've heard people justify it that way. Well, you know, God gets mad, so what's wrong with me? No, that's why you got to understand these principles that I'm teaching you. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So you'll understand that God, even in the Old Testament, God did not go around having temper tantrums. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is in full control. He's an emotional God, but he's in full control of his emotions.
Amen.
The second thing we learned, what was the second principle? Let me hear it loudly. All views of God must be seen through the Jesus grid. Jesus, we learned Jesus is exactly like God. Praise God.
Amen.
He's exactly like God. If you want to know how God is, read the four Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read all about Jesus' life. When you learn about Jesus, you learn exactly what God is like. You learn exactly what the Father is like. You learn exactly what the Holy Spirit is like. Jesus even said, when his disciples were crying because Jesus was about to leave them, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter, someone who's just like me. Praise God.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit, he's with you all the time. And guess what? He's just as sweet and kind as Jesus, I'm telling you.
Amen.
I know that from experience. The Holy Spirit, he's a sweet person. I love being around the Holy Spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
Except when I'm in sin. So I try not to sin. Amen. All right. Third principle we learned. What's the third principle? Let me hear it loudly.
Understand the language of Bible.
You need to learn to understand the language of the Bible. I want to hear everybody except Terry, because Terry, you start speaking into the camera. Can't be having your voice over mine. But you need to learn to understand the language of the Bible. We told you that, and you have it in your study guide, and we're going to have the teachings up online pretty soon. We're building it. We got the webpage working on right now. It's going to be the Vindicating God Ministries webpage, a different ministry that's connected to this church, but based on these type of teachings. But we'll have the teachings up online that you can download absolutely free. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Matter of fact, the study guide is going to be online absolutely free too, so you can give it to your friends. But don't try to go. The web address is in the back of the book, but don't try to go there yet. So don't try to go to the web page yet. I'll tell you when it's up. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. but we learned that there's so many things in the Hebrew language. Remember that your Bible was not originally written in English. It was written in two different languages. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And these different languages vary from your English sometimes. See, the English is rich. I'm so glad I'm an English speaker, because the English language is a rich language. Praise God. You can use so many different words to describe one thing. Well, not all languages are like that. The Hebrew language is kind of a poor language. It doesn't have as many words to describe certain things as the English does. And same with the Greek. So we thank God for English, because English is very, very rich and you can use so many different words just to say one thing. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So as you're translating something from one language to another, you're going to have difficulties. So you cannot just understand the language itself. Praise God.
Amen.
You have to actually understand the culture and the idioms that they use. I spent 16 years in Japan. And no, I did not learn how to speak Japanese fluently. I should have, and I could have, so y'all can beat me up on that. But I did learn enough of it, praise God, to survive when my wife wasn't around. And I tell you, it came to good use when I was in the airport in Fukuoka one time in the middle of the night, and it was me and two other American ladies, and ain't nobody spoke no English. And so they was looking at me and like, what are we going to do? I don't know how it happened, but all of a sudden, all that Japanese my wife been teaching me came back to me. I tell you, when an emergency, the Holy Spirit, he sure knows how to bring certain things to your memories. I figured out how to ask for a taxi, a hotel, an exchange of yen. Then I got in a taxi cab. And the guy, he was so impressed with my Japanese, he just started talking and talking and talking all the way to to the hotel. And I'm sitting there like, I don't know what he's talking about. And he's going to say, oh, you are an idiot, aren't you? And I could be saying, hi, hi. No, but he was a nice guy. I mean, he ran, he even grabbed our money, ran around the corner for us, got our money exchanged, changed the yen and everything. Nice guy. But you know, the thing is that I couldn't just know the language. I also had to know the culture. See, you know, I had my criticisms of President Obama, just like anybody else, praise God. But one thing that some people go way too far, and they criticize stuff that ain't even worth criticizing. For example, when President Obama went to Japan and he bowed to the emperor, that's normal in Japan, praise God. Mm-hmm. When I was in Japan, I bowed to the bums. Well, maybe I ain't gonna go that far, but I bowed to my friends. You know, I see somebody, I just bow. That's normal culture in Japan, right?
Amen.
Yeah. And so, you know, people criticizing the president. Oh, president, that how dare he bow to the emperor? I'm a Christian. I still would have bowed to the emperor. Praise God.
Amen.
I would bow because that's a sign of respect. It's not. I'm not worshiping the man. I'm simply giving him respect, just like in some other cultures. I might give him a handshake. Now, in some other cultures, men kiss each other on the lips. Now that. Pushing too far. some cultural things Pastor Troy just ain't going to. But most things I will do, praise God. Amen. And they're not homosexuals when they do that. Amen. You know, the Bible itself tells us to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now the ladies, I can greet with a holy kiss. The men, I'm still working on that, brothers. I'm sorry. Amen. It's not a threat to my manhood. It's just not the way I grew up, praise God. Man, men didn't even hug each other in my family that much. It took me a while when I first became a Christian, well, a little bit before I became a Christian, to learn to hug my brothers, praise God.
Amen.
Now I can hug you and I hug you tight, and it doesn't bother me or threaten my manhood at all, praise God. Mm-hmm. But the kissing part, I still got to work on it. Amen. And some of the brothers said, amen. All right. What's the fourth one? The fourth one is, and I say that myself because y'all probably may not remember, but it's in your book, so you can read it. Understand the ancient Near Eastern Hebrew permission idiom. So we talked about that there's so many different things about culture and language, and there's idioms within the language. And one of the idioms that we're focusing on in this particular study, because we're asking the question, does God engage in destructive behavior? And we're taking a long way around because you have been taught too much tradition. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I had to take the long way around. That's why we had to go weeks or a couple of months in teaching this, because I got to get a lot of traditional thinking, a lot of unbiblical thinking out of your head. Praise God. And so that's why we're building the foundation by telling you how we study this stuff, what principles we use to arrive at our conclusions. And so the ancient Near Eastern, when we use that phrase, we're talking about the surrounding area of Israel, the countries, the nations that surrounded Israel. They were in the Near East. And we use ancient Near East because we're talking about languages and cultures that may not necessarily exist today, praise God. But a lot of historians have dug through and they've read all the papyrus and they've read all the documents and dug up all kinds of things, and they've learned a lot about the ancient cultures that surrounded Israel. And Israel adopted many of their cultures, many of their idioms, and much of their language from the surrounding nations, praise God. And so Hebrew is based on many of the things that you learn from the ancient Near East. And God, because he was working through a particular group of people, he decided to speak and have his word written using their language, their cultures, and their idioms, praise God. Mm-hmm. And so what we have to do, we have to avoid always making a literal translation or a literal interpretation of certain things. We have to understand that there is a permissive idiom in the Hebrew that is often explained in other parts of the Bible, and we have to make sure that we translate it that way, especially when it concerns certain things. You're going to see in a moment, as some of the scriptures I'm going to show you, that if you don't learn to translate them a certain from remembering that permissive idiom, then you will have God being a tempter. I showed you last week where God was, where he was made to be a tempter, didn't I? Where he made David, where it says that he moved David to sin. And we know that God's not doesn't do that. Amen? Mm-hmm. God's not responsible for people falling into temptation and sin. And so we showed you that the Bible gave its own interpretation, and we're going to talk more about that today, if we have time. Now, principle number five. Read principle number five. How many of y'all can read that, can see that? Just read the top. Translation of permissive verbs as caused to. Amen. See, yeah, I do have it on the screen. Certain Hebrew words in the Old Testament that should have been translated permissively were actually translated causatively. So that's another problem that we have with our Bibles. Not only have our translators not recognized the permissive idiom, and many translators today still don't recognize it, and there's multitudes of English translations, and many of them still don't recognize that permissive idiom, but many of them also have failed to translate certain words. They translated them in a causative sense that should have been in a permissive sense. You may not understand what I mean, but let me show you. First, let me show you some dictionary definitions from a Hebrew scholar. Now, two of those words, two Hebrew words, one is called Nathan and one is called Shalat, praise God. Or Shalat, Shalat, depending on who the dictionary, I've got several Bible dictionaries on my computer and at home in books. It's either shalak or shalah. But these are two words. Shalah is often translated as sin, S-E-N-D. And Nathan is often translated as put or something to that effect. But if you don't know that these words are supposed to be permissive rather than causative, then you will find a lot of scriptures in which God is made to look very, very bad. And let me show you an example of one. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 23. We got it up on the screen. Won't y'all read that for me? Everybody, let's read that together.
Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a nice spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee.
Praise God. It says, now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Ain't that a shame? God going around, he's supposed to be the God of all truth, and he's going around putting lying demons in people. And then he's going to punish them for putting lying, because he put the lying spirit in people, praise God. Doesn't that make God look bad?
Amen.
I don't know about you. Now, some people might say, well, God is God. He's sovereign. He can do whatever you want. Well, but then God is supposed to be my example. Praise God.
Amen.
Follow me as I follow Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, if Jesus goes around putting lying spirits in people, then it shouldn't be a problem with me doing certain things. I should be able to beat my kids anytime I feel like it. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I should be able to tell them to tell a lie and then beat them for lying about it. Praise God. What are you lying for? What you told me? Don't you? I don't care. I'm sovereign. Praise God. Well, if we don't understand how to translate that word, then we will think of God as somebody who actually puts lying spirits in people. And some of y'all who do lie can blame it on God. Well, I can't help myself. God put that in me. That's what the homosexuals do right now. Well, God created me to be this way. God is going to condemn you for something that he created you to be. No. The Bible specifically says that God, that homosexuals will not see the kingdom of God. Praise God.
Amen.
And so if God is making people to be certain ways, if he's putting certain spirits in people, then that makes him pretty bad. However, as we have down here, the word put is Nathan. And it should have been better translated as permit. Praise God.
Amen.
So it should have been Nathan. Let me go back to the slide before that. Nathan expresses the meaning to let, allow, and in the negative context of refusing to give permission. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what the word Nathan is. And that's the word put comes from that Hebrew word Nathan. So this would have been better translated, now therefore behold, the Lord hath permitted a lying spirit to come into you. You know why? Because that's what they wanted. Ahab, if you read the context of it, Ahab, who was the king at the time, he wanted prophets that would not tell him the truth, but that would tickle his ears. How many of y'all know that the church is like that today? There's a lot of people, your pastor to tell you the truth. They don't want your pastor to tell you, hey, you're in sin, you need to get out of there, or you're going to hell. They want pastor to say, whisper sweet nothings in their ears. Get up and preach on and I ain't got nothing against prosperity. I believe in prosperity, praise God. But some people, that's all they want to hear. They want to hear that God's going to bless you right now. Look at some of these memes that you see on Facebook sometimes. How many of y'all on Facebook? I love Facebook. I enjoy it sometimes. Sometimes it's on my last nerve. But look at some of these things that you see on Facebook. If you love Jesus, then type amen.
Yes.
If you don't love him, keep scrolling. You know, I saw one where somebody had a picture of Batman slapping Robin. He said, Robin's about to say, if you love Jesus, type amen. If you don't, scroll and Batman slaps him. Say, that's stupid. But you know, then you got the ones that said, type amen and God will bless you with something, with $1,000 or something like that. That's witchcraft, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't Jesus. So a lot of people want to read stuff that tickles their ears. And the funny thing is, you'll see a lot of likes on them. Then you got the ones that say, you know, Jesus is coming back soon, get your life together. You might see 2 likes on that. If you see any likes at all and that kind of thing. But people want stuff that tickles their ears, praise God. And that's what Ahab wanted. He wanted stuff that tickles his ears. And how many of y'all know that God will let you have that if you want it?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because he ain't going to stop you from going to those kind of churches. He ain't going to stop you from surrounding yourself with those kind of preachers. And that's what happened with Ahab. He wanted lying false prophets. Micaiah came and gave him the truth. And what did he do? He threw Micaiah in prison. But the lying prophets, he believed them. And he ended up getting killed in the end. Praise God. But see, God did not actively put the lying spirits there. God simply permitted Ahab to have what he wanted, and so he allowed the lying spirit to have their place. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Are you understanding this so far?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, let me show you from a different translation that same passage. The J.B. Rotherham's Emphasized Bible says, now therefore to Yahweh has suffered a spirit of falsehood to be put into the mouth of these thy prophets. But Yahweh himself has spoken concerning the calamity. That word suffered is an archaic word that simply means permission. Praise God.
Amen.
So you understanding any of this?
Amen.
So this ought to give you a different perspective on how to read your Bible. You've got to learn how to interpret those permissive verbs. Glory to God.
Amen.
And if you do that, then you will truly understand what your Bible is saying to you. Now, let's go to principle number 6. Principle number 6. The Bible is its own commentary and dictionary. Say that with me. Say the Bible.
The Bible
is its own commentary.
Is its own commentary.
And dictionary.
And dictionary.
Glory to God. See, there's a lot of people who will tell you, well, you know, I don't like to read the Bible because it contradicts itself. There's so many contradictions in the Bible. No, the Bible does not have contradictions. It has explanation. Praise God.
Amen.
Say that with me. Say the Bible.
The Bible
does not have contradictions.
Does not have contradictions.
It has explanations.
It has explanations.
Praise God. So you the Bible explains itself. It does not contradict itself. So what you have to understand is the Bible is its own best commentary and its own best dictionary. The Bible defines certain words for you. See, I showed you a dictionary definition of the word put from the original Hebrew. But you don't have to go out and buy all the books. I got a library full of books. I mean, I got books on top of books. I got so many books, I don't even have enough bookshelves for the books, praise God. And I've stopped buying them for a while now because my wife was getting on her last nerve, spending all kinds of money buying books on books and books and books. But you know, as a pastor, I got to have some books. Amen. But you don't have to get the vast library that I have, praise God. And you can learn just as much of the word as I know without having all that by just simply learning how to interpret the Bible with the Bible. Amen. The Bible explains itself. You don't need some expert who went to college and got his degree and went to seminary. You don't need them. I thank God for them. Don't get me wrong. I thank God for them. But you don't need them in your everyday life because the Bible will explain itself. I showed you last week how the Bible explains the fact that God did not really tempt David to sin. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let me show you something else. All right, I got some time. Let me show you another passage. Now, the Bible, if you're not careful, it tells you that God brings diseases. Amen. And Exodus chapter 15, I'm not having y'all turn because I'm trying to get through this so I can get this lesson done and get y'all home. But Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, it says, and this is Moses, the Lord speaking through Moses, he said, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, a lot of people who believe that God inflicts people with sickness and disease, they like to use that passage to teach that God is the one who brought the diseases on Egypt, and so therefore God brings sickness on people. Now, there's a conflict here because either God brings sickness or God is the healer. Which one?
He's the healer.
He's a healer. Brother George, yeah, see that? I like that man. God's going to promote you. But he's the healer. But see, but there's a conflict. If you don't understand how to interpret that word brought, then you will be confused by this passage. Now, you know what that word brought in the Hebrew means? Brought. It actually means that God was the one who did it. So that's why now you got to use your Bible to interpret that particular passage. Praise God.
Amen.
And so what you do, you look at Job chapter 42, verse 11. And let's read that one. It says, then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him, and comforted him all over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. Now, again, it says that the Lord brought evil upon Job. Praise God. You know that Job got sick. Praise God. Now, let's look at another passage. And this time we're going to stay in the book of Job. In Job chapter 2, it says, now, this is Satan talking to God. Just before the sickness came on Job. It says, Satan tells God, but put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. So now who brought the sickness on Job?
Satan
brought the sickness on Job. Yet, Job 42 says, God did it. Same book. The book of Job says God did it, and then the book of Job says Satan did it. Which one is correct?
Satan.
Exactly. Exactly. But actually, both is correct, and let me explain why. God, exactly. God allowed it, praise God. And that's how you you understand those type of passages. You look at the other passages that will explain that passage. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 is explained by Job 42:11 and Job chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Praise God. And so if you learn to just not look at one passage, especially if it's a passage that makes God look bad, then you got to learn to go to other passages and interpret that. Praise God. Let me show you another one. We'll skip this one about God smiting. You can see it in your book. You can go to your study guide and learn more about that. Let's go to principle number 7 because I want you to see this. All right, principle number 7. Interpret the Old Testament in light of the New. Now, another thing we've got to understand and remember is that the Old Testament is a progressive revelation. Say that with me. Say progressive.
Progressive.
Revelation.
Revelation.
What that means is that all the truth about God was not revealed in the Old Testament. Praise God. Let me ask you a question. Who tempted Adam and Eve? Who tempted Eve to sin? Who did?
Satan.
How do you know that? Do you know that from reading Genesis?
Yeah.
No, you don't. Yeah, you know why? Because it doesn't. The word Satan is never mentioned in Genesis. It says the serpent tempted Eve, didn't it? Now, we learn later in the book of Revelation who that serpent was. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says that serpent of old, who is called Satan and the devil. Now we recognize that Satan was the one who tempted Eve. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Hebrews would not have understood that. The early Hebrews who was reading Genesis would not have understood that was Satan, praise God. Mm-hmm. And that's why the revelation in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is progressive. So when you read the Old Testament, and you should not be afraid of the Old Testament, when you do read the Old Testament, you've got to understand the progressiveness of it. So when you read passages in the Old Testament that make God look bad, then you've got to go to the New Testament and find out what does the Bible say about God's character. Praise God. If it says that God is a tempter in the Old Testament, then you need to go to James chapter 1 and see that the Bible says that he tempts no man. And so then you say, well, there's got to be a different understanding of that Old Testament passage that says he does. Glory to God. I'm almost out of time. Let me show you this very quickly. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 9. Now I want you to read this, and I want you to read this carefully. Look at this. This is God talking. He says, If the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I the Lord have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Now ain't that a shame? God is going to destroy a prophet that he deceived. Now if you don't know how to interpret that, you don't know how to go to your Bible and look and reinterpret that passage, then you will miss out on what God really is trying to say there. Praise God. Now the first thing, we go to the New Testament. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it says, it is impossible for God to lie. Say it is impossible.
It is impossible.
For God to lie.
For God to lie.
So if it's impossible for God to lie, how could God deceive the prophet? Praise God. And then we go to Titus chapter 1, verse 2. It says, God cannot lie. Say, God.
God
cannot lie.
Cannot lie.
So if God can't lie, if it's impossible for him to lie, then he could not have deceived the prophet. Praise God.
Amen.
So what is that scripture really saying? It's saying that God allowed it. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, it says, and now ye know that withholdeth. God is the one withholding evil. Praise God.
Amen.
He's the one protecting, keeping things from happening. that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. See, God is holding back, but sooner or later he's going to let certain things happen. Amen. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, say Satan.
Satan.
With all power, signs, and lying wonders. See, Satan is the one deceiving. But then we go to verse 10, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. Notice they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned into believe who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. What that's saying there, in a nutshell, is that God allowed them to be deceived, praise God. And Satan is the one who is doing the deceiving. But God will take responsibility for what he allows, but it really is our fault because we did not love the truth, praise God. And so that's how you interpret passages such as Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 9. When it says that the Lord deceived the prophet, you go to the New Testament and say, wait a minute, the Bible says that it's impossible for him to lie. The Bible says that he just can't do it. And then we look at another passage like in 2 Thessalonians, and we find out, what does Ezekiel 14, 9, what is it really saying? Praise God. Now, Ezekiel 14, 9, that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But it was inspired by the Holy Spirit using the idioms and culture of that time. And Revelation had not progressed to the point that we understand it now. But see, there's no excuse now when you read the Old Testament. You don't have to avoid the Old Testament. Praise God. Some people, they just, I just don't want to read the Old Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian. It's all God's Word. Praise Jesus. I love the Old Testament. I love every part of this book. And so, but I can love it even more because now I understand certain principles to use in interpreting difficult passages. Hallelujah. Y'all understand more how to read your Bibles now?
Amen.
All right, because we're going to be learning some good stuff here. How many of y'all now know that God doesn't give you sickness?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Only one person understands that?
Understand.
All right, good. God does not give you sickness. That's what, and we, you know, in those passages that we just read that make it sound like he does, we now learn to interpret them in a different light. Praise God. Satan is the one who brings sicknesses and diseases. God does not engage in destructive behavior. And we're going to learn more of that. I encourage you to read ahead of me. Read your study guides. Write down stuff. If God says something to you, write it down. If a question comes to your mind, write it down. And I'll do my best to answer. You know, you got my phone number, most of you. You can call up and say, Pastor, I didn't understand that one. You got to explain that one to me. And I'll take the time to do it if I ain't hungry. If y'all call me at dinner time, I might say, you're going to have to call me back. But otherwise, call me. Praise God. Because I need you to understand this, because this church is moving somewhere. It's going somewhere. Praise God. And see, if you don't know how to share the gospel with people, and they come up with these kind of things, they will stump you. Amen?
Amen.
So you don't want to get stumped. So you need to know your Bible. One guy tried to mess with us because he says, well, you know, the Bible says that God created evil. A lot of you Christians try to avoid that. I don't. I know how to explain that. Praise God. I know my Bible now. I know how to interpret it. Stand to your feet.
Amen.
Did you learn anything today?
Amen.
Oh, come on, y'all. If y'all learn something, don't patty cake. This is... The Word of God is precious, man. I'm telling you.
Amen.
Amen. You should be thankful to God that you're getting taught these kind of things. Because a lot of people don't know this stuff. And a lot of people are confused, I'm telling you. And if you stick around with this church long enough, I'm telling you, you're going to know your Bible like the back of your hand. And ain't nobody going to be able to throw you off. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Because we are a Bible teaching ministry.